Good morning. I'm going to take just a quick minute and give a real hearty endorsement for the Shepherding Conference. There were seven of us that went, and it was tremendous. If you have a chance to go in the future, it's well worthwhile. One of the things that we learned bears upon that last song we sang, and I'll just quickly share that with you. One of the speakers was Warren Henderson, a former NASA aeronautical engineer, and he's written a number of books, one of which is called The Glory of His Name. And the name of the message that he gave was called Reverence in a Casual World. And the point of his book is simply that we need to be careful in how we refer to our Lord Jesus Christ, because sometimes we're not scriptural in how we refer to him. And one of the subtle points that he made that yet I thought was really profound, we just sang, what a friend we have in Jesus. He pointed out, by looking at every single reference where we read that word friend in connection with the Lord Jesus, that never is the Lord Jesus spoken of as our friend. Never. In every single reference, we are spoken of as his friends. You say, well, what's the big deal? Well, when we speak of Jesus, my friend, we're bringing him down. But when we think about the Lord Jesus Christ calling us his friends, he brings us up to his level, as it were. And so that's just one little tidbit of many. And you might think that's trivial. It's not trivial. We need to be careful where the Word of God is careful. You'll never find a reference to the Lord Jesus as our friend, but we're always his friend. So one little tidbit that I picked up. So lots more. So if you get a chance to go to the Shepherding Conference, I urge you to go. Okay, so much for that. Recently in my studies, I've come across two portions that I've gotten pretty excited about that have a common thread. And I guess it's one of those many cases where I'm sure that I've read these portions many times before, but guess what? I was reading my Bible too fast. Heard that before? And I missed the point. But this time through, these portions really jumped out at me. And actually, I was going to try to combine the two into one message, but decided it was just too much to try to do. So we're going to look at one of those portions this morning, or one of those subjects. This morning, we're going to be talking about five lovely young ladies. Their names are Mala, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah, also known as the daughters of Zelophehad. The daughters of Zelophehad. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking to yourself, no, no, not another message on the daughters of Zelophehad. Right? I'm so tired of hearing about the daughters of Zelophehad. Well, maybe not. Maybe that's not what you're thinking. Maybe you've never heard of the daughters of Zelophehad, but I pray that before the noon hour, we'll all be familiar with what we can learn from the daughters of Zelophehad. They're mentioned five times in the Word of God. They're in five different passages. 1 Chronicles 7, Numbers 26, Numbers 27, Numbers 36, and Joshua 17. And in four of those passages, they are mentioned by name individually. Now that says something to me right there. God has included them in the Word of God for a reason. There's a reason that they're mentioned so many times. And I would just remind us of what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 And you've heard this before, but let me just read this. We read in verse 6, "Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted." Verse 11, "Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." And so, the Spirit of God has included the story of the daughters of Zelophehad in the canon of Scripture for a very important reason, and I think we should recognize that. In fact, I think maybe we should just pause just for a moment and ask God to help us not to miss the lesson that we can learn from the daughters of Zelophehad. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank Thee for the Word of God. We thank Thee that it's through the Word of God that we came to know the Son of God. And so we thank Thee for it. And Father, we pray that Thy Spirit of God would give divine illumination upon Thy Word today, that we might learn something from these daughters of Zelophehad. So we just commend our time to Thee and ask for special help. And we do so in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the times that we read about the daughters of Zelophehad is in 1 Chronicles chapter 7. It's in verse 15. You don't need to turn because it's only three words. And we don't really learn a whole lot about the daughters of Zelophehad from 1 Chronicles 7:15, because the three words are thus: Zelophehad had daughters. That's it. Zelophehad had daughters. But when we come to the book of Numbers, we began to learn more and more about them. So if you'll turn to Numbers chapter 26, we'll read another occurrence where the daughters of Zelophehad are mentioned. Numbers chapter 26 and verse 33. "And Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, had no sons but daughters. And the names of the daughters of Zelophehad were Mahlah and Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah." So now we've considered two of the five passages of Scripture where the daughters of Zelophehad are mentioned. Here, we're simply told that Zelophehad had no sons but daughters, and we're given their names. Their names are significant, as we'll see later on. But now turn, if you will, to chapter 27, and we learn even more about the daughters of Zelophehad. Numbers chapter 27 and verse 1. "Then came the daughters of Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Maker, the son of Manasseh, of the families of Manasseh, the son of Joseph. And these are the names of his daughters: Mahlah, Noah, and Hogla, and Milcah, and Tirzah. And they stood before Moses and before Eleazar the priest and before the princes and all the congregation by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, 'Our father died in the wilderness, and he was not in the company of them that gathered themselves together against the Lord in the company of Korah, but died in his own sin and had no sons. Why should the name of our father be done away from among his family because he hath no son? Give unto us, therefore, a possession among the brethren of our father.' And Moses brought their cause before the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, 'The daughters of Zelophehad speak right. Thou shalt surely give them a possession of an inheritance among their father's brethren. And thou shalt cause the inheritance of their father to pass unto them, and thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, If a man die and have no son, then ye shall cause his inheritance to pass unto his daughter. This will end the reading from this passage for the moment. And I would like to point out just a few things to help us to understand what's going on here. First of all, we learn from Numbers chapter 36, the very last verse in the book of Numbers tells us that these events occurred on the plains of Moab, east of Jericho, on the east side of the Jordan River. That is to say, the nation of Israel is still in the wilderness. They have not yet entered and conquered the promised land. Okay? And so another thing I would just have us to recognize is that the way things worked, the way the law operated at that time, was that a man's inheritance went to his sons. It went to his sons, period. Now, what we have here is a case where there were five daughters, the daughters of Zelophehad, and they had no brother. And their father had died in the wilderness. Now, let me clarify something about what we read there in verse 3. When it says there in verse 3 that he was not in the company of them that gathered themselves against the Lord in the company of Korah, but died in his own sin and had no sons, what it means when it says he died in his own sin, he died essentially of natural causes. He was not judged as those who rebelled against God in Korah's rebellion. He was not killed in that way, but rather he died under the normal curse that came upon man as a result of the fall. Okay, but as through one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin, so that all have sinned. And you might look at it like this. He died as part of that generation that died in the wilderness because of their unbelief. Okay? And that's all it means here when it said he died in his sin and he had no son. Now, the daughters of Zelophehad recognized that because there was no son and because their father had died, they understood that one day they would enter the promised land, but because of the no son and because their father had died, they were essentially cut off from an inheritance in the promised land. They were cut off. They had no claim on any inheritance in the promised land. But they weren't content not to have a portion in that which God had promised to his chosen people. And so, with tremendous boldness and yet simple faith, they come before Moses and Eleazar and before the princes and before the congregation. They come before the door of the tabernacle and they plead their case. They say in verse 4, Why should the name of our father be done away from among his family? Because he had no son. Give unto us, therefore, a possession among the brethren of our father. These five young ladies were united in their cause. You know, we shouldn't take that for granted. You've heard, I'm sure, many cases where when parents die and an estate is settled, so many times the siblings are at war one with another. Not so with the daughters of Zelophehad. They had one common purpose, and that was to be obedient to God in the fifth commandment, the first commandment with the promise, which is what? Honor thy father and thy mother. They did not want to see the name of their father become extinct, which would have happened because he had no sons. And they were not content with status quo, so to speak. They wanted to have a part in that which God had promised. They wanted to get in on the good of that which God had promised to His people in bringing them to the promised land. And we all understand that the promised land, the land of Canaan, is a type of heaven. And it speaks of getting in on the good of what God has provided for us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so with courage and boldness and yet simple faith, they come before Moses and they say, why should it be that just because our father had no son and just because he died in the wilderness, why should we not get in on the good of what God has promised to His people? What tremendous courage and boldness and faith these women had. Now, you got to understand, what they were asking was unprecedented. You see, we have to understand that the Word of God is a progressive revelation. Now, we have the completed canon of Scripture, the once-for-all delivered to the saints faith. The faith word faith there means body of truth. That's from Jude. We have the completed Word of God, but they didn't. And oftentimes, even as they went through the wilderness, situations would arise. Most of the time, Moses had the answer. But sometimes we read where he has to come before God because this is a brand new situation. It had never occurred before. And these women were asking for something that had never been asked for before. And I want you to pay attention to how Moses, that man of God, responded to their request. Now, he could have very easily said, go away. You're bothering me. That's not how he reacted. These five women had came and said, listen, we want a piece of what God has promised to His people. And as it stands now, we're going to be excluded from the promises and the blessings of God. And we want an inheritance in the land. We want to claim that which God has provided for us. And Moses realized this is serious. And he took their... Look, I love what it says. Verse 5. And Moses brought their cause before the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses. Now think about this. The God of the universe is there. And he's looking down. And he sees the faith and the desire of these five young ladies who want to honor their father and who want to get in on the good of the promises of God. And he looks down and he hears Moses. And I think his heart was touched when he recognized their tremendous request. You see, God delights for us to ask big things of Him. We've heard J.B. Nicholson Jr., among others, talk about how we're so guilty many times of asking for such puny things from God. God delights to hear His people ask big things of Him, things that only He can do. It shows their confidence and their trust and their faith in Him. And so Moses brings the cause before the Lord, and the Lord hears. And the Lord introduced a law that carried them from then on, that affected every single woman who ever found themselves in the place of these five daughters of Zelophehad. No brothers, and their parents were dead, cut off from an inheritance in the land. And thanks to the boldness and the faith of these five young ladies, everyone that later found themselves in that situation got a blessing because of what they did. Listen to how God answers. Man, look at verse 7. The daughters of Zelophehad speak right. You know, they're right. And I'm going to reward their faith. They're trying to honor their father. They don't want his name cut off forever and ever to become extinct just because he died and had no sons. They speak right. And you know what? From here on, I'm going to put a new law in effect. And this is it. Thou shalt surely give them a possession of an inheritance among their father's brethren. And thou shalt cause the inheritance of their father to pass unto them. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a man die and have no son, then you shall cause his inheritance to pass unto his daughter. What a tremendous thing happened as a result of the bold yet simple faith of these five daughters of Zelophehad. This is tremendous. You know, as I mentioned, the Promised Land is one of the best known types in the Old Testament, speaking of, it speaks of heaven, it speaks of our inheritance among the saints in light, it speaks of the sum total, or you might consider it the Lord's table, which is not the same as the Lord's Supper. The Lord's table speaks of the sum total of God's provision for us. And Canaan speaks to us of that. And we think of some of the lessons that we see from these five young ladies, these sisters, that made such a bold request to God, and God honored it. He's delighted to honor faith. He's delighted to honor it. We see that he honored their desire to want to honor their own father. We see that as they claimed a portion in the Promised Land, it represents believers in Christ claiming an inheritance among the saints in light. These five daughters have also been likened to the five virgins we read about in Matthew 25, verses 1 through 10. And you remember the story. There were 10 virgins, but only five took with them oil for their lamps. And when the five went away, the bridegroom returned, and the five came back that had no oil for the lamps, and they missed out. And all of that speaks to us of making a provision for our eternal state. And some have linked these five daughters of Zelophehad to those five wise virgins of Matthew 25. They did not want to miss out on the good of what God had in store for them. And in boldness and confidence, they laid claim on it, and God honored that. It's also an example of encouragement to weak and destitute believers who are orphans in this world, perhaps, and yet they shall not be deprived of their heavenly inheritance. When I thought about that, I thought about a man that you've heard Bob Brown talk about, perhaps, a black man that was in their assembly, a man named Joe. He was a jazz musician. He was a practicing homosexual. And he got saved. I knew the man. And he gave his life to the Lord. He no longer was involved in that sin. And instead of playing the piano in jazz clubs, he played the piano at Slidell Bible Chapel. But he didn't have much in the way of this world's goods. Bob tells the story of being with him when he died. And they pulled the sheet up over him. And they put all his worldly possessions in a little brown paper sandwich bag. Now you would say, well, not much in this world. But I'm telling you, people like that who know the Lord Jesus Christ, who have trusted him as their Savior, shall not be denied an inheritance in heaven. And that's all that counts. You know, I think many times we're guilty of not exercising the boldness and the faith of the daughters of Zelophehad concerning the promises and the provisions of God for us. And we're too easily satisfied with what we have down here, and we never tap into the resources of heaven. And there's a lot of reasons why. I may have told you the story before. Some months ago, I heard on the radio a story about someone who had won a $30 million lottery in Florida. And I heard this on the radio about 24 hours before the time limit was going to expire. Somewhere, somebody in a desk drawer or somewhere had a lottery ticket that entitled them to $30 million, and the clock was ticking, and nobody claimed it. And presumably, it went unclaimed. And I was thinking, man, how would you feel if you knew all you had to do was take that ticket stub and exchange it for $30 million? You know, we're sometimes like that. And we miss out on all that God has for us because we lack the faith, we lack the courage, we lack the boldness. I mean, he who spared not his own son, but freely delivered him up for us all, shall he not give us all things? God, I think it delighted the heart of God to see these five sisters come forward and say, we're not satisfied. We want a portion in the land. We want our father's inheritance. We want his name to be remembered. I think it pleased the heart of God. And as a result of their faith and courage and boldness, God implemented a brand new law that affected everyone hereafter. Well, that's not the end of the story. We've thought about three of the references, 1 Chronicles 7, Numbers 26, Numbers 27. Keep turning in the book of Numbers to Numbers chapter 36. Numbers chapter 36. And we're going to see that whereas God, yes, he granted them an inheritance among their father's brethren, there was something that perhaps they didn't realize. In chapter 26, the daughters spoke, but now in chapter 7, the fathers speak. And the fathers, the relatives of these five sisters, perhaps uncles and grandfathers, recognized that there could be a potential problem. And so let's read Numbers chapter 36, beginning at verse 1. And the chief fathers of the families of the children of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, of the families of the sons of Joseph, came near and spake before Moses and before the princes, the chief fathers of the children of Israel. Now again, these are Zelophehad's daughters' relatives, like uncles, grandfathers, whoever the chief fathers in Zelophehad's family were, okay? They come before Moses, and this is what they say in verse 2. And they said, the Lord commanded my Lord. Now don't get confused when you read my Lord there. The expression, my Lord, means you, okay? The Lord commanded you, okay? The Lord commanded my Lord, or you, to give the land for an inheritance by lot to the children of Israel. And my Lord was commanded by the Lord to give the inheritance of Zelophehad, our brother, unto his daughters. And if they be married to any of the sons of the other tribes of the children of Israel, then shall their inheritance be taken from the inheritance of our fathers, and shall be put to the inheritance of the tribe whereunto they are received. So shall it be taken from the lot of our inheritance. And when the jubilee of the children of Israel shall be, then shall their inheritance be put unto the inheritance of the tribe whereunto they are received. So shall their inheritance be taken away from the inheritance of the tribe of our fathers. And Moses commanded the children of Israel, according to the word of the Lord, saying, the tribe of the sons of Joseph hath said well. This is the thing which the Lord doth command concerning the daughters of Zelophehad, saying, let them marry to whom they think best. only to the family of the tribe of their father shall they marry. So shall not the inheritance of the children of Israel remove from tribe to tribe, for every one of the children of Israel shall keep himself to the inheritance of the tribe of his fathers. Verse 10, even as the Lord commanded Moses, so did the daughters of Zelophehad. For Mahla, Tirzah, and Hogla, and Milcah, and Noah, the daughters of Zelophehad, were married unto their father's brother's sons. And they were married into the families of the sons of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, and their inheritance remained in the tribe of the family of their father. Now, I want to make sure that we all understand what's going on here. If you go back to the book of Leviticus, we read about the year of Jubilee. Okay? It's the 50th year. And God had implemented this law, the purpose of which was to maintain a balance of power within the 12 tribes of Israel. Remember, they had an inheritance by lot in the promised land. And God said, and the purpose of which was to make sure there was a balance of power, that one tribe didn't buy up all the land of another and gain too much control and put one tribe out of business, so to speak. God implemented the year of Jubilee so that every 50th year, the land went back to its original owners, and that maintained a balance among the tribes of Israel. And in fact, you can read more details in the book of Leviticus. It's around 23 or 24, right in there somewhere. It talks about how that when a parcel of land was bought, its value was relative to the year of Jubilee. In other words, if the year of Jubilee was year after next, it wasn't worth as much as if the year of Jubilee was 2 years ago, right? Because you had 48 more years that it would be yours. Anyway, so here's what's going on. The daughters of Zelophehad came before Moses and said, listen, we want a portion in the land of promise. We want to get in on the goodness of God. And God says, so be it. You speak well. Okay? The problem was, there were 12 tribes. And if they were to marry outside their own tribe, well, the land would become part of their husband's tribe. Okay? And then at the year of Jubilee, it would become part of their husband's tribe, you see? And so there was a problem. And the chief fathers of the daughters of Zelophehad recognized this as being a problem. Okay? It was okay for now, but when the land became their husband's, if they were outside the tribe of Manasseh, the tribe of Joseph, or the tribe of Manasseh, then it would be lost. Okay, and it would deny the purpose of the year of Jubilee. And that's what's being explained in this portion. I just want to make sure we all understand that. And so, what kind of instruction do they get? And this is what is so powerful. Look at verse 6 again. This is the thing which the Lord doth command concerning the daughters of Zelophehad, saying, let them marry to whom they think best, only to the family of the tribe of their father shall they marry. You can marry whoever you want as long as it's someone in the family of the tribe of your father. Now, how fair is that? Young people, you can marry whoever you want. But if you want to honor the Lord, you better marry someone of the tribe of your heavenly father, or you're going to be in for a rough go. Marry whomever you want, the Lord says, as long as it's in the family of the tribe of your father's brethren. And so, as we read the story, they ended up marrying, basically, they married their first cousins. And so, their inheritance remained in the land, and their father's name was preserved, and God honored their faith. Now, what if they had said, now, wait a minute, God, that's not fair. you just cut out 11/12 of all the eligible men. And worse than that, it's not only got to be from the tribe, it needs to be somebody from our father's brethren. What if there weren't five sons? What if? But there were. And God honored it. And he saw to it that all five of these ladies, these noble and virtuous women, all five of them found husbands, no doubt of God's choosing, in the family of their father's brethren. We need to really pay attention to what we read there in verse 6. Let them marry whoever they want to, but they better be in the tribe of your heavenly Father. They better be Christians. And if you're only going to marry Christians, and God has designed that for our own good. 2 Corinthians 6, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. God didn't put that in there to give you a hard time. God put that in there because he loves you and he wants nothing but the best for you. And we need to recognize that when it comes to a choice of a mate, we need to have biblical standards. It makes no sense to go out with someone who is not saved, someone who's outside the tribe, so to speak, of our Heavenly Father. We need to pay attention to the example of the daughters of Zelophehad. They were noble women, and they were willing to wait on God and do as God had instructed, and God honored their faith, and they found husbands, and their father's name was honored, and they had an inheritance in the land, and it all worked out for the best because they trusted God. They trusted God. So many lessons in here, and I'm going to just hurry through in the last 2 or 3 minutes. Their names have meanings. I mentioned that earlier. It's tremendous. Their names present the gospel to us. Now, maybe you can say this is just a bunch of coincidence, the meaning of their names, and even the sequence in which they're given. But let me mention this to you. This is incredible. This thrills my soul. Zelophehad, the father, his name means shadow of fear or dread. Shadow of fear or dread. That's what his name means, Zelophehad. Okay? Now, when I read that, I'm reminded of Hebrews chapter 2. Listen to this. Verse 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. That's a picture of you. That was a picture of me in my unregenerate state. I had a real fear of death, and I was in bondage to that fear of death. But Christ has conquered death. Well, anyway, Zelophehad's name means shadow of fear or dread. So the very first person that we read, the eldest daughter, Mala, her name means infirmity or sickness. Now, how would you like to go up to somebody and say, hey, my name is sickness, my name is infirmity? Well, that's what her name meant. And I think it speaks to us of the grief of heart of a person who recognizes their lost estate before God. I know what that's like. I went through a year and a half of serious soul trouble and grief of heart when I was under conviction and yet unsaved. I know what it means to be sick from sin, from soul trouble. Well, the next daughter is Noah, and her name means wandering. And what a picture of somebody who's lost. And that's what the Bible describes as someone who doesn't know Christ. They're lost, they're wandering aimlessly. They don't know who they are, what they're here for, who created them, what their purpose in life is, where they're going. They're lost. That's what God calls a person who's unsaved. And you're just wandering around aimlessly. Mala means infirmity or sickness. Noah means wandering. But Hogla means turning about or dancing for joy. You see, when you meet the Savior, your sorrow turns to joy. And you've got something to dance about. You've got something to rejoice in. Because now, the grief of heart over your sin, it's gone. And you have purpose. You're not wandering aimlessly. Hogla means dancing for joy or turning about. Milcah, her name means queen or princess. That's a lovely name. Queen or princess. And that speaks to us of our position within the family of God. We're part of God's royal family of heaven. We're made kings and priests unto God. And then finally, Tirzah means well-pleasing. You know, at that coming day, we're going to be presented glorious, without any blemish or spot, and we're going to be well-pleasing in the sight of the God of heaven. Not because of anything we've done, not because of any merit of our own, but because of the merit and the virtue and the value of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we look at the meanings of these names, we start with Zelophehad, shadow of fear or dread, Mala, infirmity, speaking of our lost estate. Noah means wandering. Hogla means turning about, dancing for joy. Milcah means queen. And Tirzah means well-pleasing. We put those names together, and we've got the good news. We've got the story of the gospel. We've got what happens to a person when they trust the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a verse in Job. I'll close with this. In Job chapter 42 and verse 15, this is what it says about the daughters of Job. Listen to this. And in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job. Now that's a tremendous statement. There were in all the land there were none found so fair as the daughters of Job. Job's daughters were the most beautiful ladies in all the land. I don't know about you, but if I had a choice between having daughters like Job's daughters, who were known for their beauty, the most beautiful girls in all the land, there was none to compare. If I could choose between daughters like the daughters of Job or the daughters of Zelophehad, I don't know what you'd choose, but it's an easy choice for me. I'd take the daughters of Zelophehad any day of the week. You know, man looks on the outward part, but God looks on the heart. And that's what we need to look for when we're looking for a mate. If you'll just forgive just one little quick word of testimony, and I'll promise to close. I got saved on February the 11th, 1974. And that night, I'd been out on a date with a lovely girl. We'd gone to a jazz club in Raleigh, heard Bette Midler. Came back that night, about 2 o'clock in the morning, I got saved. She was very attractive outwardly. In fact, she'd been a professional model. She'd been on the cover of 17, Vogue, Cosmopolitan, all the magazines. She had already reached the pinnacle. But that night, my father was the devil. I was of my father the devil because I was unsaved. And at 2 o'clock that morning, that same night, the morning of that night, I got a new father and I became a new creature. And I never went out with her again. Because, you know, I had a different father. And I didn't know a whole lot, but I knew this. I knew I was a new creature. And I wanted to be sure that I married someone in the same tribe, the tribe of my new heavenly father. I never went out with her again. And God brought my wife into my life only after I left this huge Bible church and went to a little assembly of about 35 people. Closest person to my age was about 15 years away. It was only then that God brought a woman after his heart into my life. And I can say it's one of the greatest blessings of my life. You need to set your sights on men and women of God. Don't look on the outward appearance. It's real nice that Job had beautiful daughters. Give me the daughters of Zelophehad any day. Those that want to get in on the good of what God has promised us, that are not satisfied with status quo, that recognizes we've got all the resources of heaven available to us, and we need to trust God for big things. And look at how he honored these five women. He has memorialized them for their bold yet simple faith. Give us faith and courage like the daughters of Zelophehad. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank thee for thy lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we're thankful for each person in this room who knows him as their personal Savior. And Father, we pray that if there's anybody here that's never trusted Christ, that this would be the day that they would recognize that apart from him, they're just lost, they're wandering aimlessly. They need to have their sorrow turned into joy to become part of the royal family of heaven, that one day they can be presented faultless before the throne. Father, how we thank thee for the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for this little story, a true story, something that really happened, people that really lived, daughters that had faith and courage and boldness and didn't want to miss out on the blessing of God. Father, help us to emulate these daughters of Zelophehad, that our lives would be a credit to the value and of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And we ask that in his own worthy and precious name.